Turn, please, to the book of Genesis and chapter 41. I want to think a little bit about Joseph and how that he was honored by Pharaoh in Genesis 41. And so we'll read from verse 38. Genesis 41 and verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So God will bless the reading of these verses. It is a tremendous thing about the Word of God that we can see in these Old Testament scriptures such manifold, beautiful pictures and types of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that these pictures of Christ are there because the New Testament tells us to look for them. You remember when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the unbelieving Jews in John 5, he said, "Search the scriptures." He says, "They are they which testify of me." And so the scriptures that they had at that time, the Old Testament scriptures, spoke of the Lord Jesus. And of course, even more delightfully, we think of those two travelers unto the village of Emmaus and how that the Lord Jesus opened the scriptures to them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then later that day, the day of his resurrection, he met with all the disciples and he said to them that these are the words that I spoke to you when I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. The things, he says, written in the law of Moses, the things that are in the prophets, the things that are in the Psalms, those things concerning me, they will be fulfilled. So we know that the scriptures are filled with these delightful pictures of the Lord Jesus. And when we come to the wonderful story of Joseph in the book of Genesis here, we maybe don't have a clear New Testament verse that directly connects Joseph with the Lord Jesus, but there's no doubt that Joseph's life is a remarkable picture of the Savior, most notably because of the basic order of the life of Joseph. There was the suffering, there was the humiliation for Joseph, and then he would enter into a period of great glory and great recognition, and he was exalted there in the land of Egypt. And so many of the writers have written much on how that Joseph would be a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can ever get a copy of that book, The Coat of Many Colors, written by a brother, David Craig, that was a book that I was able to read when I was a young believer, and it made a tremendous impression upon me, not least because it's so easy to read the way that it's written, and it is a beautiful devotional study of the life of Joseph as he would be a picture of the Lord Jesus. But here in Genesis 41, Joseph has just interpreted Pharaoh's dream and given Pharaoh the advice to store up the food for the seven years of plenty, in order that there will be provision for the following 7 years of great famine in the land. And Pharaoh and all of his servants, they're greatly impressed by Joseph's wise counsel. And Pharaoh says there to his servants in verse 38, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And that was the verse that particularly caught my attention just in recent days. As we think of Joseph and as we think of him as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly Joseph, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And so we see how Joseph was the man who suffered greatly. There was all of that humiliation. He was the rejected one by his brethren, but then he entered into his glory, and we see that pattern in the life of the Lord Jesus. His sufferings, his humiliation as the rejected man, but then for the Lord Jesus, the glory and the exaltation as the risen man. And we see these things pictured in the person here of Joseph. And so Joseph was honored by Pharaoh, and that's particularly what I want to focus on, how that Pharaoh honored Joseph there in the land of Egypt. And we know that it would be the desire of God the Father for all men to honor his beloved son, to rightfully acknowledge the worth of the person of the Lord Jesus. The Savior said there in John 5, "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him." So it is certainly good every time that we as believers would gather, that we honor the Lord Jesus. And by doing that, we are honoring the Father who sent his well-beloved Son. And so we get this picture of this here in Joseph in Genesis 41. There has been the 13 years of his suffering and humiliation. We're told there in verse 46, Joseph was 30 years of age when he stood there before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he was exalted there in the land of Egypt. And so for the last 13 years, he has suffered greatly in all that has taken place. And I'm sure the story of Joseph is familiar to each one of us here this morning. But as Pharaoh hears his dream interpreted, he acknowledges the uniqueness of Joseph. He says these words to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And he says further to Joseph there in verse 39, "There is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Joseph was altogether distinct. He was unique in his discretion, in his wisdom, a man who we know was always appreciating the presence of the Lord with him in all the times of his suffering, in all the humiliation that he endured. And then now, as he's brought to a place of exaltation, he was a man who always had the presence of God with him, a man in whom the Spirit of God was operating. And what a lovely picture, just to think of that in a general way, of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, one who was recognized by individuals that we read of in the New Testament. They recognized the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we find such a one as this? I think of Simeon there, one of the first after the Lord was born to recognize the uniqueness of the worth of the person of the Lord Jesus as he took up the infant child in his arms. "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace," he says, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, Simeon was just expressing there in a very general way something like these words of Pharaoh in relation to Joseph. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Simeon was appreciating the unique worth of Christ as the Savior for all of humanity. A light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. But Simeon was also appreciating the Savior as his own personal Savior. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so he can say, let now thy servant depart in peace. And so just that appreciation of the uniqueness of the person of Christ, the one who is the Savior, the one who is the Redeemer. I wonder for each one that's here today, have you had that personal appreciation of the Lord Jesus? Have you come to marvel at the worth of his person and to recognize that there's nobody else that can meet your need? There's nobody else that you'll find like the Lord Jesus. He is the only Savior. And just like Simeon, to look upon the child Jesus and to say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I wonder for each one, have you had that salvation appreciation of the person of the Lord Jesus? And there are many other examples in the life of the Lord Jesus, and I won't take time to elaborate further on that because I want to get back to Genesis 41. But those who appreciated, can we find such a one as this? The disciples in the boat, when they saw the Lord Jesus calming the storm, what manner of man is this, commanding the winds and the waves, and they obey him? And so there was those who appreciated the uniqueness of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus. But just coming back to these verses in Genesis 41, Pharaoh is going to honor Joseph and set him over all the land of Egypt. And I want to just point out quite briefly seven things in verses 42 to 45 that Joseph received from Pharaoh. Seven ways in which Joseph was honored by Pharaoh. And think of them as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was firstly the ring in verse 42, the signet ring. It was taken off of Pharaoh's finger, and it was then placed on Joseph's finger. And it was a sign of the authority that Joseph was being given. It was the insignia of that high office of exaltation that Pharaoh was giving to Joseph. Pharaoh was giving to Joseph authority over all the land of Egypt, and the ring of Pharaoh is placed on the finger of Joseph. That ring was placed on the righteous hand of that man Joseph, a symbol of Joseph's authority. And we think of the authority that has been given to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of the work that he has accomplished, the servant who finished the work of the Father, on the basis of the death and sacrifice that he accomplished at Calvary, the one who was raised out from death, and on the basis of all that he has accomplished for the Father. The Father has given all authority into the hands of his Son. You remember as he meets with the disciples there at the time of his ascension, we read about it there in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you always. All authority, he says, has been given unto me, and he is the one who is with his disciples. He is the one who will be with his own. He will be with his servants with that authority for whatever service that we would be engaged with. And you remember also the verse in John 17 as he prays to his Father and he's thinking about going back to the Father to be exalted there. He says in John 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, how will he use that authority? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Our blessed Savior, he's exalted there in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He has all power. He has all authority. The ring was placed on Joseph's hand. Joseph had authority over all the land of Egypt. Our blessed Savior is occupying the throne of heaven, and all authority has been given to him. And how does he use that authority? He uses it to bless his own. He uses the authority to give us this great gift of eternal life, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So firstly, there was the ring placed on the hand of Joseph. And then secondly, Pharaoh gave Joseph a garment of honor. And verse 42 says, Joseph was arrayed in vestures of fine linen. And again, this was marking him out in his high office as he would be moving over all the land of Egypt. He was wearing now a garment that was appropriate to that place of exaltation that he would have. And it's another beautiful study in relation to the life of Joseph, the different garments that are associated with Joseph in the different houses where he was. There was that coat of many colors that the father gave to him. He wore that in the father's house. It became a bloodied coat because of what his brothers did to him. And then, of course, he was sold down into Egypt. And there was his garment of service as he served in the house of Potiphar. And that was the garment that he left in the hand of Potiphar's wife when he had to flee from that woman. And then that, of course, led him to the prison. And he wore the garment of suffering there in the prison house. But now he has garments of exaltation. He has a distinguished raiment. He's arrayed in those vestures of fine linen. And I thought, in relation to the risen Lord Jesus, I was thinking particularly about the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, John has that vision of the exalted, risen Savior. He's moving in the midst of the seven lampstands, and John saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, a distinctive garment, a priestly garment for the one who's moving amongst the lampstands of testimony for himself, a distinctive garment for the one who, in his exalted office there in heaven, he is ministering as our great high priest, a distinctive garment for the one who Hebrews 10 tells us he's a great priest over the house of God. And so the Lord Jesus is the one who is so distinctive in that ministry that he engages in, his high office as our great high priest, as he would minister there in heaven on our behalf. And so there was the robe, there was the garment that was given by Pharaoh to Joseph. And then thirdly, Pharaoh placed a chain of gold around the neck of Joseph, there again in verse 42. And so Joseph, he exchanged the iron chain of Egypt's prison. He exchanged it for the golden chain of Egypt's presidency. As he would wear that chain of gold around his neck, again, it marked out Joseph. He was being honored by Pharaoh. And Joseph was going to occupy this place of sovereign authority over all the land of Egypt. And we think of our heavenly Joseph. We think of the person of our Lord Jesus. And he is the one who truly can wear that golden chain of supreme authority. And again, I thought of John's vision of the Lord in Revelation 1. It says in verse 13, he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle, a distinctive symbol, I would judge, of his divine provision. Gird about the paps, the breasts, the place of nourishment, the place of supply, with a golden girdle. And our blessed Saviour in heaven is the one who provides, nourishes his own. He is the one who is the provider for his own. And that was true of Joseph as he wore that golden chain around his neck. And when the famine came to the land of Egypt, what was the instruction from Pharaoh? The instruction was to go to Joseph. Go unto Joseph, verse 55 of Genesis 41. What he says to you, do it. And Joseph was wearing that golden chain around his neck, a symbol of the authority that he had to open the storehouses of Egypt and all the provision that was going to be available for the people through those years of famine. And Joseph had the authority to provide and the ability to provide for the needs of the people. And so, what a lovely thought in relation to our Lord Jesus. Where do we go for provision? Where do we go for blessing? We go to him. We go to him who is girded about the paps with the golden girdle. We go to him who is the great provider for his own. We go to him for every blessing. He is the one who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. They are all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was thirdly there the chain of gold around his neck. And then fourthly, Joseph was given a chariot to ride in. It was the second chariot behind Pharaoh's, but he rode that chariot throughout all the land of Egypt, as we read there in verses 45 and 46. And Joseph, as he rode that chariot, he was seen by all the people in every corner of the land of Egypt. He was seen to be their savior. He was seen to be their redeemer. He was seen, as he rode in that chariot, to be the one that would provide for their needs. And when our blessed Savior, when he comes forth from heaven as the risen man in all of his exaltation, Scripture says that every eye will see him. Throughout the whole, every corner of this universe, every eye will see him. Everyone will recognize his worth and his glory. Those who have rejected him, those who have set him aside. We think of Joseph as he was riding in that chariot. What was the fifth thing that was given to him in the way that Pharaoh honored him? The instruction there in verse 43 was bow the knee. Bow the knee to Joseph. This one is to be worshipped. This one is to be revered. This one is to be acclaimed by all the people. Bow the knee to Jesus, to Joseph. And so that would include those that had treated Joseph so badly. That would have included his old master, Potiphar. That would have included the wife of Potiphar that had so slandered and besmirched the name of Joseph. They would now have to bow the knee to Joseph. His vindication was absolute. As he rode in that chariot, and as the people were instructed, were commanded to bow the knee, there was absolute vindication for Joseph in relation to his life. And so it will be for our Lord Jesus Christ. That day will come when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those verses in Philippians 2 speak about that. The one who stooped so low in becoming a man, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he is the one who has been highly exalted by the Father. And there will be that day when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And that will happen here on this earth, the place of his rejection, the place where men cried, crucify him, away with him, we will not have this to reign over us. And everyone that refused to bow the knee before him, he will be vindicated before them. And every trace of his humiliation will be gone. He will be absolutely honored by all. He will be brought to glory and it will all be to the glory of God the Father. And so, if there's one again here today and you haven't bowed the knee in salvation to the Lord Jesus, now is the time to do that. There will be that day when every knee will bow, but he is the one who desires that you would come to him and you would bow down before him and recognize him for who he is, the Savior, the one who died there for sinners on the cross. But two more things very quickly. I'll have to move fast here. But the sixth thing that Pharaoh gave to honor Joseph was a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, verse 45. A name that means either the revealer of secrets in terms of its Hebrew meaning, but then also a name that means the savior of the world, as far as the Egyptian or the Coptic meaning of that name. And both of those names are highly appropriate and relevant to the person of the Lord Jesus, the revealer of secrets and the savior of the world. You remember in John chapter 4, the savior comes to Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. That was the place that was known in Old Testament times as Shechem. That was the place where they brought the bones of Joseph out of Egypt. They transported the bones of Joseph and they eventually buried them. The book of Joshua tells us they're in Shechem. And in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus comes to that place where the bones of Joseph were. And what does he do? He shows himself to be the revealer of secrets. He speaks with that Samaritan woman, and he knows all of the details of her life. And that woman was brought to say, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the revealer of the secrets of the lives of men?" And then the Samaritans in the village of that woman, they were brought to acknowledge him as the savior of the world. They said, "Now we believe, not just because of what the woman was saying, but we've heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And we read again in 1 John 4, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So perhaps those are two New Testament verses that do directly reference Joseph as a type of Christ. His new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus is going to be honored as the Savior of the world. And again, going back to the book of Revelation, I thought of Revelation chapter 5. And we read there about the Lord Jesus as the Lamb, the freshly slain Lamb in the midst of heaven's throne. And all in that day, they will honor him. And they will say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Joseph was honored with a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, the revealer of secrets, the savior of the world. There's a day coming when all of heaven and when all will be brought to acknowledge the honor that the Lord is worthy of. He is the Lamb who is worthy to receive all honor and glory and blessing. And so he will be honored, our Lord Jesus, in that way. And then the last thing that Pharaoh gave to honor Joseph was a bride. And it was a Gentile bride, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, the pagan sun god of the land of Egypt. But Asenath was given by Pharaoh to Joseph as a bride. And again, we go to the book of Revelation, and Christ is going to receive his bride, the church, and he's going to be honored in that eternal union with his church. And you think of Revelation 19, John says, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." the Lord Jesus will be honored on that occasion of the marriage of the Lamb, and he will be honored by all of heaven as the bridegroom, and he will be the one who will be united eternally with his bride, the church. And what a blessing for you and I as Gentile ones. We will be part of that church. We will be united with the Lord Jesus for all eternity to give honor and glory to him. And so Pharaoh, he honored Joseph in these seven ways, and God desires always that his son be honored. And we do well to honor him today. He is our blessed Savior. He is the Savior of the world. And we trust that for each one here, younger ones and older ones alike, we trust that you know him as your Savior and as your Lord, and you have honored him by receiving him as your own personal Savior. So God will bless his word to us. Father, again, we thank thee for this time together to look into thy word, and we're thankful for that picture of Joseph and how it brings us to think of the Lord Jesus and to think of a day when he will be exalted, when he will be glorified, when he will be honored by heaven. He will be honored in this earth as he establishes his kingdom. We think of how all the kings of the earth during the millennial reign will come up to Jerusalem. They will bring their gifts and their presents to him. They will bow down before him. They will honor him in that coming day of his revealed glory. So we bless thee for these truths about the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we have been brought to understand something of the worth and the honor that he is deserving of. And so we give thanks again for thy son and pray thy blessing on the rest of the day. Give help also for the gospel tonight. And so we commend these things to thee now, and we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.